Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of July, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Following Friday's very strong gains, it was always going to be interesting to in response to that 19th European summit conclusion. It was always going to be interesting to see what happened here this week with the tone perhaps being set today. And we had quietly steady stock markets in Asia for the most part. Perhaps the best strength shown among the ASEAN group, including Singapore. Now, European stock markets were first up a little bit in the morning, and then they became mixed, but closed out with some reasonable gains here. And we had, for instance, German DAC, French CAC, UK, and the Euro stocks all up about 1.25%. In the Americas, again, we had a little bit of seesawing, but we're mostly in the minus column on Wall Street, except right at the close when the S&P closed up 0.25% and the NASDAQ closed up just over 0.5%, and those are near the highs of the day. Long-dated government bond prices against this background were quite firm. I should mention that again in the stock markets, Canada up, Toronto index up 1.5%. One of the better gains today. Now, I was just starting to say that long-dated government bond prices were firm across the boards, particularly the U.S. Treasuries, which are up 1 16/32 as I speak. The U.S. dollar is a little steadier, although it's pared those gains somewhat. Its dollar index is at 81.85, closer to 5. Closer to 0.86. Most of that's coming from the euro, which is down 84 ticks to 125.83. The Aussie quietly steady, 102.50. Sterling a little bit, just about unchanged, near 157. And precious metals. Well, they were weaker early on with the dollar rallying a bit, and also they'd had such strong gains on Friday. We had gold, however. Well, gold's down 10 cents in after-hours trading. It's at 1,597 and change, and it had been $10 lower. Silver down $13 had been lower. The one that did best in here was also the one that did best on Friday. Platinum, although it was down for much of the day, it's closed $5 higher at $14.57 and change. Industrial metals were sort of quietly mixed. Copper gave up 2.85 cents of its good gains on Friday. Strong action again in the U.S. grain and bean crop. These things really have been on a tear, and that's continued today here for wheat, corn, and soybeans against background of this hot, dry weather in the Midwest. And we also had a good day for coffee. More of the agricultural commodities definitely up than down. Sugar, cocoa, coffee, all to the plus side as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the European summit is still gaining a lot of copy here. It obviously caught many investors by surprise, although it shouldn't have, given that there was widespread appreciation, I think, that the politicians were in a corner and had to do something a little more conclusive, show a little bit more unity, which they'd shown precious little of that in the prior 18 summits. And well, they came up with some reasonable goods here, and what it did was create the impression that they were moving further towards this fiscal, political, and also banking union, which a number of people have called for, not surprisingly. So Europe's actually extended its gains in here today, as I mentioned a moment ago. But what's interesting is that it also pushed above that June rally high. They've all pushed above the June rally high. It was around the third week of June, and then we had a little pullback. So what we've got effectively on these European charts, first is relative strength. It's been a while since we've been able to say that. And we've also got a higher reaction low. Now, regular listeners will know that broadcast does not slip past without me mentioning the importance over the last 3 weeks of those early June lows. And really, I've been emphasizing that because we had a bit of a reaction and we saw those lows at a time when sentiment was really extremely negative towards stock markets. And the point simply is that we can't have a bigger correction, let alone the bear market that some people have been fearing on both sides of the Atlantic, without taking out those early June lows. Well, now we've also got the late June lows to talk about, and that's a, as I say, is an improved picture here overall. Now, if those late June lows were taken out, then we would, or I would certainly conclude that the current rally had lost some momentum, but it would still have some breathing space above those early June lows. So what I'm trying to say here is that the technical picture, not only is it not as bad as a lot of people have actually feared, but it has improved in here in the last few days. And that's not insignificant. It does raise the possibility that what we had Fuller Money had been hoping for, but did not see any conclusive evidence of until more recently, we'd been hoping that we might get away with just a minor, relatively minor shakeout relative to what we saw last year. So a corrective phase more on the scale of what had actually taken place in 2010. And I'd give that hypothesis the benefit of the doubt, although it would all look different if we saw those June reaction lows taken out, but they're not being pressured, as I've said. Okay, these long-dated government bonds, well, steady on the belief, the strong belief that we're going to have more quantitative easing. These bond markets all firmed when we had a report of some weak manufacturing data out of the US. It's only one statistic, but if we take all the statistics that we've seen recently, we have had slowing growth, and also the unemployment has been edging upwards once again in the US. So there's evidently a battle royal going on within the Fed as to whether or not they should do something more dramatic. I'm on record as saying on many occasions that I thought that the Fed would dearly love to avoid having to do that, partly because it would be an admission that the earlier quantitative easing had not been as effective as they had hoped. And the other factor would be that they would not want to be showing favoritism to an incumbent during an election year, and they know that they would almost certainly be criticized by the Republicans, as was the case with the last QE package. But I think at the end of the day, they'll do their duty as they see it in accordance with their mandate. So, Don't be surprised if we get a little bit more stimulus, although they'll be the last to do it. The ECB is the one that's coming in now, also the Bank of England, and I think there's every chance that we'll get more stimulus measures from both China and India. You know, I didn't mention crude oil in that review, and that had such big gains on Friday. I think a lot of short covering taking place. Just mention right now that the WTI is down $1.28. It's brought it back to 83.68, and the Brent is down about 50 cents. I think it's in 97.30 or thereabouts. But as far as commodities are concerned, generally, we have seen a clear loss of downside momentum after an overextended decline overall, just about at the time when everybody was saying, well, super cycle's over, commodities are all weak, and so on. Good contrary indicator of that. But the CCI came back to an obvious level of support, identified and commented on a number of times, and has duly steadied there. The big boost to the CCI, and firming it up. And again, at this stage, I would say that this is not more than a well-earned technical rally and some partial mean reversion towards the declining MA. But I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be a more important low as time evolves. But the obvious point is that it will take GDP growth certainly to put the industrial commodities up beyond a technical rally on some short covering. But the area that concerns me here right now is the grain and bean complex, because the hot, dry weather in the Midwest has persisted for longer than is normal, and this takes an increasing toll here at a time when some of these crops are flowering and therefore were fragile. And while there is some time for a partial recovery to occur here, we don't yet know the extent of the damage because the weather forecast is for it to remain hot for a little while longer. And the implication is that for the third consecutive year, the world will not be able to build the excess reserve stocks to act as a buffer against future bad years. So this could, well, it's already producing some upward pressure here in terms of food prices, and there's a risk that that does worsen. Okay, and precious metals, which I commented on in the review. overall, I'm inclined to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm not inclined, I'm going to do it. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to my hypothesis that this is a support building phase in here. They're still range bound, with silver being about the weakest, a high beta silver. But it's going to follow any reasonably robust move by, well, a move in either direction by the price of gold bullion. Silver, I've just always described as high beta gold. But it would make sense, I think, both fundamentally and technically, that precious metals would now be in a support building phase prior to ranging higher throughout the rest of this year. Got all that liquidity that's coming in, all that QE, interest rates staying very low is a favorable background. Concern over currencies, the ability of these currencies to maintain their purchasing power over the medium to longer term, and rightly so. So, gold as the ultimate currency is a good hedge against that. And therefore, I think we will see it moving higher within its range this year prior to probably new all-time highs. That's still my expectation and forecast for some point in 2013. So, interesting times, and let's look forward to what tomorrow brings. All the best.